good to have you all with us for our service this afternoon. We're thankful for the occasion that brought us all here together. Let's take our hymn books. We're going to be singing number 458. 458. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please. 458. Draw me nearer. Thank you.
Think about that song. It is a solemn responsibility to be a pastor and to lead a congregation. My name is Matthew Renzi. I'm an evangelist. I'm out of the city of Philadelphia, and my home church is Solid Rock Baptist Church in Berlin, New Jersey. Rev is a member there as well. Him and Ma. Pastor Clark is our pastor. I was just one of the guys that came up to fill in when Pastor Gary went to be with the Lord, and thank you, brother, for remembering him in prayer, mentioning the fact of all that he did for 40 years to establish this church. And I'll tell you, when God establishes a church, he makes sure it stays open. And I had the privilege for a few years to be here and to help fill in as several other preachers that are here. And there are some preachers that may be here, and they've allowed some men from their church to help fill in too. And there's a lot of churches in this country. There's a lot of churches in the Northeast that don't have a pastor. And I'll tell you what, this church has had several people that would fill in where I've seen churches that hardly have any. And so when God wants to keep a door open, he keeps a door open. And we thank the Lord for that. I don't know why I've been asked to kind of moderate, but anyway, I've been asked to do it. What we're going to do here at this time is we're going to ask, first of all, Brother Rev Seabolt, would you please come? We're asking some of the preachers that have filled in and some pastors who've allowed some individuals to fill in from their church, if they would come and if they would just take a few moments. I think they've already been given the instructions, if you will, on just kind of charging the new pastor and charging the congregation. Rev, if you would, please.
Well, it sure is good to be here. And let's get acquainted real quick. They call me Rev, the pretty young lady I was sitting with, next to with all the curls in her hair. They call her Ma. And so it's that way. It just is. And so anytime I say Rev, talking about myself, anytime I say Ma, I'm talking to the one that I married 54 years ago. 55 years ago.
56.
My wife never graduated from kindergarten. She don't know how to count. Now, we've been together for a long, long time. God's good. And I thought, this is great. This is great. And you don't want to lose the great. To God be the glory. And God's done a great thing in days past. God's doing a great thing today. And God's going to do a great thing in the days that lie ahead. I'm a little bit hesitant of folks who don't think God's doing something great. He saved your wicked soul. And if you didn't get saved, I'll go back on that wicked soul business. Some of you are looking at me strange. Did only the perfect people get saved here? I'm dead serious. You all look like, I'm not wicked. I got a white shirt on. You got a blue shirt on. You're the wicked one up here. You're the wicked one. Listen, we need to rejoice in the good things that God has done for us. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a grand thing what? To follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go. For it's a grand thing to be a wimp or a soldier. You know that song? It's a grand thing to be a soldier in his army here below. It's the grandest thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. And we need out of this group that have generated themselves here this morning and this evening, tonight, tomorrow, whenever you're here. Well, I'm looking at the preachers that are here. We'll be here for a week. They all want their turn. You know, I got to go. Yeah. When's my turn coming? You know? And so praise God that they're here. I'm of the strong persuasion that God's excited about doing something today in our country, in our culture. I'm confident in God that he's going to knock on the doors and find few people in church, and he's going to be praying. He'll be asking for more folks to come to church and stay in church. Amen. And I'm excited about what God's doing, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in this place. There's no place like this place, near this place. This has got to be the place. This is the place. Take your Bibles, if you would, quickly. And I've been allotted 5 minutes. And there's a timer. I'm hearing a tick, 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 tick. And a little bit concerned because the carpet is different where I'm standing than it is over there. And this thing's probably going to open up. And Ma, you know where we parked the motorhome. Just, I'll meet you out yonder there. This is great. Too many of us, including myself and you all, but too many have lost the sight that what God's done and what God is doing is great. It's great. You don't have bigger. You don't need bigger and better. God is the best. And if we as God's children would say, hey, my kids learn real fast. If they bragged on me, they might get a bigger, you know, a balloon or bubble gum or popcorn even. Where's my popcorn? Somebody took my popcorn. You watch it, Ma. Anyway, them two folks sitting right in back of you, they're going to distract you in just a minute. They're going to run off with that popcorn. But we've got to once again say, this is great. This is great. And I taught my kids as they were growing up, if you want a little bit more, you at the dining room table, you said, boy, this is good, Ma. This was good. Now, if you didn't like it, you better be careful what you say. just brush it off. But this is great. Psalm 145, I trust you're there. And I'm serious about time. Psalm 145, verse 3 and 4. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I'd like to stop right now and have some testimonies of the great thing that God's done in this place over the years. Amen? Now, I'm not going to call on you, but do you have something that you can think about? The great things that God has done in this place. Can you think of something? Raise your hand if you can think of something. I'm not going to call on you, so don't feel, I don't ever speak in public. All right. God's done some great things. You think he's done doing great things? You think he's done all the great things that he had in mind to do for this place? I don't think so. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I think we need to do a little bit of praising God. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. You can sit around and criticize them saints, but I came to praise the Lord. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I left the verse out. Help me out. Did I? How many know? Ma, start me off. Praise God from come on now, help me.
Praise him, all creatures, hear me.
Praise him above.
Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Can you sign them up for a choir?
Yes.
And I'll be the director.
Next Sunday night.
I'll be the director. Amen. It's great. And we've been in a good number of churches here on the East Coast visiting, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, God-loving, devil-hating Baptist churches. And it's been good, but it's going to get gooder. It's going to get gooder, and you're going to make it gooder with God's help to do something for God. This is great. Here in this place, you have a great God. I'm sure glad that God's a great God here and there and over there and up there and down there and around there. We serve a great God. And I'm a little bit, because we've been on the road a whole lot, meeting folks who are, well, it was okay. It was, you know, he just didn't have the stuff he used to have. No. What comes from behind this pulpit is generated from what you did last night in the prayer closet, what you did over the weekend serving God. It's not just the man who stands behind the pulpit. It's the moms and dads and brothers and sisters, the aunts and the uncles who sit in the sanctuary of God's place and praise God. God wants to dwell in a joyful place. God wants to be with victorious people. You know how many victories you've had in your life? You just sit down and start counting the victories that you've had.
Yes.
Oh, poor me, but you don't understand, Rev. I've had a hard life. I had to walk to school. You all know that one, right? The kids have heard it from mom and dad for a whole. This is great. You have to recognize that. My Bible is great. You got a great Bible?
Amen.
You got a great Bible?
Yes.
Stay excited with it.
Amen.
Fight for it.
Yes.
Defend it. God's given you his holy word. This is great. I jotted another couple things down. This congregation is great. You know how, thank you. That was my point. You know how to say amen. The congregation is great. We love one another because God first loved us. So we love one another, and this congregation is great. Somebody's going to tell you, what'd you do over the weekend? I went to a great church. There's more than four people here. I went to a great church. Now that's synthetic, but it needs to become much more reality. There's a group of people out there who would trust Christ as their personal Savior if they heard a little bit more about him. From people who think he's great. If you're a baseball player, you have a great, you know, spectator, whatever it is. But this is great. What is happening right now is great. You ever stop to think what you'd be doing normally? How many know what you do at this time? Normally on a Sunday afternoon. Help me out now. If you don't know, I'll tell you. What was it?
Nap.
Do not do that. Well, the next three speakers or four speakers come, don't you nap on them. No way. There's some apples in there. Just take them out and start whoop them. Okay. This is great. It's great. We've got a great congregation. Amen? We are brothers and sisters around here. It's because we're a family, and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed the tears. But rejoice in his victory. A victory has been accomplished this day. The doors are open. The lights are on. God's children have gathered. This is a victorious day.
Amen.
With a great congregation. Preacher, just stand up for a second. You're my next point. You have a great preacher. Yeah, thank you. You can sit back down. Amen. Don't worry. It won't go to his head. I think somebody, well, he stands up there too long. He's going to think he's capital G, capital R, capital E. No, you have a great preacher. God's given you a great man. And if we don't let him know that he's a great preacher, that doesn't mean he does everything perfect, but he serves a perfect God with a perfect congregation that are going to stand behind him all the way. We've been around, I said it three times now, but we've been around a whole lot of Baptist churches here in the Northeast. And the congregation, these are once again, we've got a great preacher. We've got a man of God who stands upon the word of God to the people of God, so forth and so on. You've got a great Bible. You've got a great congregation. Uh-huh. Now, some of you are going to back off on this. But you've got to look at the one next to you, the one alongside of you, or the one in back of you, the one in front of you, and say, you are great. We've got one. Very, very good. That's good. I got one. You're great. You're great. I'm not saying you're great. You should have seen the French toast I had this morning. You're not great. She burnt both sides of a piece of French toast, and that's not easy. We have a great pastor. Thank God for him. A great congregation. You got a great building. Uh-huh. Nice little piece of property. Good sanctuary. Good building. Thank God for it. You know what it needs? It needs more people. It needs more people.
Yes.
Well, if we get more people, I won't have my favorite seat. I've been sitting here for the last 33 years. I've been sitting in the second row, the second seat in. I picked on you. You're bigger than me. Let's go to the next point. You've got a great building. Thank God for it. You do. We've been in a good number. This is good. Well, it's old, but it's good. Roof over your head. Amen. It's good. You've got a great music program. Now, I got to get more than that, or we'll be singing. You've got a great music program, and that's fabulous for a fundamental church. Every song that you sing here is a special number. Amen. Good. And keep it going. I've got jotted down here a couple more things. One more thing. Maybe two more things. You know how preachers are, three or four, five or six. Two lies that are expressed in a Baptist church. One is, I'm from the IRS. I'm here to help you. And when a Baptist preacher gets up and says, I won't be long today. Two lies that are just kind of like told in the church. You have a great future. You have a great future. You start dreaming. Start dreaming, not now, but within a few moments. Start dreaming of what God's going to do in the days that lie ahead with you.
Yes. Yes.
With you.
Yes.
With you. Well, I'm going to leave it for somebody else. We've got a new preacher. He can do it. No. With you. God wants to use you. And because he wants to use you and you want to be used, you have a great future here in this place. Many a soul to be saved. I'm going to stop. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. All right? Can we stop? Good. They said 5 minutes. I'm out of here.
All right. That was some great stuff. Amen. All right. Brother Hitchens here. Brother Hitchens, would you please come? Brother Hitchens also is a brother filling in for the congregation, and we thank the Lord for him. I never met him, but I heard a lot about him, and he's going to come also and share a word with the congregation, with the pastor as well. Thank you, Rev. Appreciate that.
Appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We're here with our pastor, Jamie Crooms, and his wife, and they are sitting in the back. And I was, for those that don't know me, I was associate pastor at Maranatha Baptist Church in Elkton, Maryland, for 38 years with Dr. Al Dickerson, and my wife was his secretary for 42 years. And then a few years ago, we stepped down and been available for Bible conferences, pulpit supply, whatever the Lord would open the doors for. And Brother Gary Freeman was my friend for over 30 years. And always knew where he stood. And we appreciated his fellowship and the leadership of this church for 42 years. And when the Lord called him home, I appreciated having the opportunity to come and help out here with pulpit supply. And as the years went on, because it's been, what, almost 4 years now, right? As the years went on, I'm sure a lot of folks wondered if this church is going to make it. And a lot of churches don't. You know, the church is closing their doors all the time. And so I'm sure a lot of folks wondered just how long, you know, folks would hold on here. But thank the Lord, you know, folks stayed faithful. And I just always felt, you know, that God was not done with this church, that he had somebody. And I know there were different ones that came, and finally the Lord raised up Pastor Welton.
Amen.
And so we're so thankful that he's here. And that this work is going to continue on.
Amen.
God's not done with Ray Street Baptist Church.
Amen.
And just always had that feeling that God was going to raise up somebody and see this thing go on. I want to share with you something that our pastor has been doing. I'm going to steal his series of messages. I'm not going to give you a series, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's been preaching on this. 2 Timothy 3:14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." He's been preaching a series on continue thou. And that's what Ray Street Baptist Church needs to do. Continue thou. Had a good foundation, a good history, 42 years under Pastor Freeman's leadership. And now, just as Moses passed off the scene and Joshua came on the scene, now Pastor Welton is here on the scene. And so he needs our prayers. He needs our support. And we're going to see this thing continue out. We're going to continue on in the things, he says, which thou hast learned. And so that's what we're praying for. And I believe that you know, God's still on the throne. Jesus told us to occupy till he comes. We believe he's coming soon. And that'd be great if he would come tonight, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But if he doesn't, then we occupy. We keep on keeping on. And continuing on in the things which we have learned. And so I believe God has some great days ahead for Ray Street Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
As he tarries. But it's incumbent on us to be faithful.
Yes.
Faithful in prayer. Those of you that are members here, faithful in attendance. Until the Lord comes back, you know, we're to occupy, aren't we? I know a lot of folks think, well, we're in the end times, and a lot of folks have fallen by the wayside. But that doesn't have to happen to everybody, does it?
Amen.
And even though some have grown cold, we don't have to grow cold. And so we want to stay faithful and see what the Lord has for us in the future. I believe there are folks all around need to be saved. And there are folks that are saved that need to be in the house of God. And so we need to see the Lord fill up these seats and see things go forward. But it was my pleasure to be able to have a part in helping out here during this time. And so we pray for Pastor Welton. We pray for you folks every day. And just pray the Lord will continue to bless here at Ray Street Baptist Church. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your help, and thank you for those words of encouragement. Brother Dick Prue, would you be so kind to come? Brother Dick Prue's from Community Baptist Church. Pastor David Smith, his pastor, is with us as well. And he's been filling in, doing some helping out, preaching. And so he also is going to come, and he's going to give a word of encouragement to the congregation and also to the new pastor. Again, we thank God for what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. Amen.
Well, thank you. As the other fellow said, it's good to be here. I just tell people when you get to be my age, it's good to be anywhere. And it's interesting, I heard Brother Hitchens mention Maranatha Baptist Church in Elkton, Maryland. And when I was a teenager in the 60s, I used to pick up a little paper that my dad would get called the Baptist Watchman. And I would read it, and Howells had interesting stuff in there. I said, where is this from? He said, well, I preached in that church back in the 50s, not long after their pastor came there. So I have a appreciation for your church. As far as the Freemans are concerned, I was sitting in Bible Institute in an independent Baptist church in Lansdale back in the early to mid-70s in Bible Institute. And sitting next to me in most of the classes was a fellow named Paul Freeman, who was Gary's brother. And so anyway, I've known the Freemans for many years. But anyway, it was my privilege to fill in here for maybe 70 sometimes over the last years. I tried to count them up, and I think it was somewhere in that range. And it was a privilege. I always tell people I'm not a preacher, but I am the son of a preacher. And I know a lot about the ministry. I've watched it firsthand. And when you lose a pastor, you know, it's a rough time for a church, especially one that has labored faithfully for as many years as Brother Freeman did, 40 years at one church. It's unusual today. But I would also say this, it's hard for the next fella to come in following somebody who's been there for 40 years. So I would encourage you to get behind the new man. Get behind him and encourage him. Encourage him in the work. It's a testimony to the fact that things were kept going in the interim. That's a good thing. However, it's not God's plan to be without a shepherd. God set it up as the shepherd and the sheep, shepherd and the flock. And when the flock doesn't have a shepherd, it's not God's plan. So it was good that people stepped up and kept things moving, and you had the pulpit filled almost without fail, I believe, just about every service in that whole time. And that's really a story in itself. It really is. But I would say this. As far as the future is concerned, sheep have sheep. Shepherds don't have sheep. Now, as the pastor is a sheep himself, he needs to reproduce too. But sheep are the ones that are supposed to reproduce. Sheep have sheep. And so if the church is going to grow, the sheep are the ones that are supposed to make it grow. You don't leave that to the job of the pastor.
Yes, absolutely.
That's your job. And, you know, I was always fascinated and encouraged by the fact that Brother Freeman pastored this church for all those years working a full-time job. Now, there is a pattern in the New Testament for a tent maker, but it was Paul when he was planting churches. He would plant one and then move to the next one and then to the next one. And it's not really ideal for a man to have to work a full-time job all the time. Now, maybe for an interim, it's okay. But I would encourage you, I'll just read one verse, 1 Corinthians 9:14, the last part of the verse says, they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so I would encourage you to really get busy having sheep, reproducing, so that this fellow can move from working and pastoring to pastoring. My dad took a church in 1960. I was 10 years old. I didn't know any of this at the time. But he took a church in Black River, New York, up near Canada, with 15 people and a salary of $15 a week. And when he moved in, he said, now the people got together when they were extending the call. And they said, now you realize you're going to have to work. And my dad told me this later. He said, well, this is my work. I'm a pastor. And he said, well, yeah, but all we can afford to give you is $15 a week and a place to live. And he said, well, then I guess I'm just going to have to trust God for the rest. And so he started working both sides of the street, witnessing to people and preaching and, you know, just doing the work of the ministry. And it wasn't long before there was 100 people and 150 people. And so so he didn't lack. But so I would encourage you. One last thought, and you know, I always tell people when I get up, because I am not long-winded, but I say, like Henry VIII said to his fifth wife, I won't keep you long, and that is true. I'm just about done, but I would encourage you with one thought. Your pastor does not have a pastor. That's something that we as church members, and the Bible really doesn't make a huge distinction between clergy and laity, but I would say this, though. Your pastor does not have a pastor. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job. It can be very lonely. As again, I say, I don't know this from personal experience, but I know it from watching my dad. He had no pastor for the 52 years that he was in the ministry. He had no pastor. And your pastor does not have one either. So, you know, make sure you hold him up in prayer, realizing the great responsibility that is on the man of God.
Yes. Amen.
He has responsibilities for this flock that you don't have. And so you may not understand sometimes why he does certain things, but he answers to God himself. And so you need to uphold him in prayer. You need to support him. You need to encourage him. And I think if you do that and you do the work of the sheep, the church will grow and God will bless. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, that was a great insight. Amen. And we thank you for that, Pastor. I was going to say, Pastor, thank you for that, brother. Appreciate that. Our brother Prue's pastor is Pastor David Smith from Community Baptist Church. Brother, would you please come and also say a word to the congregation, to the pastor, if you would, please.
Thank you so much. It was good that I came here. I already received a bag of popcorn, a caramel popcorn. I appreciate that. That's good. What a tremendous heritage here. Praise God. I want to thank Brother Dick Prue. He's a deacon in our church, faithful deacon. Faithful deacons are hard to find, good deacons. But thank you for ministering for over 2 years here and filling the pulpit for these people. It's a servant of Christ. He's like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to knowing what's going on. And Brother Gary Freeman, went to school together. He had a wonderful father there, Jason, and tremendous husband, Donna. We thank God for him. We miss him. Seems like just yesterday he went home. And we thank God for his testimony, his legacy. God's given you a great one here. Wow. And I praise God for you, Jason, and your family. And I praise God for Paul, his father, who took a strong stand on the received text. He's a good, solid preacher. So I rejoice with you. I bring you greetings from our church. We ask for God's blessing on your church here. We congratulate the church in finding God's man. And Pastor Welton, I don't even know you, but I'm coming to know you right now. And I thank God that he brought you and your wife. And is just one child and one daughter here? Okay. We welcome you here to Pennsylvania. We ask God's blessing. You're from PA, as we found out. But I look forward to getting to know you better, brother, and serving God together. Let me just give you two passages, and then I'll be done. Turn to one, and these are important verses for the church. The first one's found in 1 Thessalonians. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we come to verse 11, and he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do." And notice this, verse 12 and 13. And these passages will help the church not be destroyed from within, but to be blessed. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. That's the pastor.
Yes.
That's the pastors, whatever the case may be. Know them. Doesn't mean know them by name. It means to respect and honor them.
Yes.
And hold them up high.
Yes.
And he says that in the next phrase. Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. So we have not here, we have some accountability. We also have some responsibility. We also have some different function. They're over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. That means to warn. They have a job of reproving and rebuking. And then it says in verse 13, the right attitude, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake.
Yes, amen.
It's not to esteem them better than others,
right,
but to respect and honor the function they have as a pastor.
Right.
And it says, and be at peace among yourselves. That's a full-time thing right there. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Here's all the sheep. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Then go to Hebrews. That's the other passage, and I'll be done. Hebrews chapter number 13. Similar admonition to the New Testament local church. Hebrews 13, notice, if you will, in verse number 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Remember those. I believe this is the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's the primary job of the preacher.
Yes.
To speak the word of God.
Amen.
Whose faith follow. So he has a job not only to speak it, but he's got to practice it.
Right.
And set forth an example. considering the end of their conversation, look at their lifestyle, look at the direction they're going, look at how they live, learn from that and follow that. And then notice verse 17 and we'll be done. Verse 17 says, obey them. Sometimes that's the hard part, because sheep are called sheep because they're stubborn animals sometimes. Obey them that have the rule over you. This is in the Bible. Obey them and submit yourselves. That means it's a voluntary choice to put yourself under the pastor. For they watch for your souls. It's an awesome job. It's an ominous job. They watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We're going to stand before God someday and answer for our sheep. And we don't want to have to do so with grief. So God bless you, brother preacher. God bless you, and Donna and Jason and your family and all of you people. God bless you. I thank God for this church. May the Lord's hand be upon it.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Pastor, for that. What a word of encouragement, word of exhortation, no doubt about it. Brother Rodney Myers, if you would be so kind to come. It was his daughters that were up here singing, and they did a wonderful job, a great hymn. Brother Myers also was filling in many times, and so he's going to also give a word of encouragement. Brother, please.
Thank you. I don't know how to give words of encouragement. I'm just going to preach for a couple of minutes. Ephesians chapter 4:32. If you would, Ephesians 4:32. Listen, I'm going to give you 3 points, because I wasn't joking about preaching, but I won't take a long time, because I know the message that's in your heart. You know the message in your heart? It's abbreviated. Praise the Lord for that. It's 5 B's, and that's be brief, brother, be brief. But I'm going to share you the message that's in my heart, which is also alliterated with 3 M's. From Ephesians chapter 4, but I need to set it up perfectly with all of these wonderful godly men who came and spoke what was on their heart, and they encouraged, and I'm very thankful for that. And what did they say? Brother Chris, this is what they said: preach the word. That's what Paul told in Acts chapter 20 to all those pastors who came around him. You're not going to see me anymore, but let me tell you something about myself. I was humble. Isn't that a great thing for a humble person to tell people? I was humble, humble of mind. And at the same time, I held back nothing. Brother Chris, hold back nothing. That's what I'm encouraging you to say, to lead your church and the church be led by you. Hold back nothing. That's profitable for them. Don't hold back. It's absolutely necessary. The Apostle Paul, that was his mantra. That was his ministry. That's what he did. And when he was ready to be taken home, he told a young Timothy, not young in age, not young in experience, but he was closer to the beginning of his ministry than he was at the end. And so what did he tell him? He said, listen, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. And then he used 3 very encouraging words. You know what he said? Reprove. That's right. That means to tell people what sin is. Tell them. Reprove. Bring it to light. Be faithful not to hold back anything that's profitable for them. Make sin plain in the eyes of sinners. Then he said, rebuke. You know what that means? That means don't just make sin ugly, make the sinner feel his own ugliness. You got that? That's profitable unto you. Reprove, rebuke, and then what? There's your exhortation. Come alongside him and show him how to shed their sin and be saved or be sanctified by their Savior. That's profitable for them. Hold nothing back. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse number 32, we have some very important instructions concerning this work. Ephesians 4:32. And he says, and be ye kind one to another.
Yes.
So now we're moving not just to charge the pastor, but this is a one another passage. That means him to you and you to him. Ministry in this place needs to be characterized by kindness. Amen. Hey, listen, make sin ugly. Make the sinner uncomfortable. Show them how to get it right. Hold nothing back, but do it with kindness. Do it with kindness, because that's what's profitable. And if his job is to preach the word with kindness, seeing that you are profited by it, what is your response to that? To hear and to receive correction and be made wise in the latter end. That's what it is. Be kind in your response. That's what characterizes ministry. But secondly, in this verse, Ephesians 4:32, we see not only to be kind in the ministry, but have a heart, Brother Chris, that's tender-hearted. I want everyone to say, mourn. Mourn. Tender-hearted. Ministry characterized by kindness, but also characterized by mourning, not the first thing getting up in the morning, but mourning being a heart that's tender. You could be rough, you could be mean, you could be nasty, and you could be really eloquent when you do that. But listen, you could break down people, but that is not ministry. Be tender-hearted. When people cry, cry with them. When people hurt, hurt with them. When people are overwhelmed with sin or overwhelmed with life, what do you need to do, Brother Chris? Be tender-hearted in reaching out to them. And listen, church, let me tell you, you need to be tender-hearted to your pastor.
Yes, sir.
Be tender-hearted. I've been in places, not here, praise the Lord, but I have been in places where I have heard feedback, I have heard backbiting, I have heard words either after the service or in the homes where people are mean and nasty in their thoughts towards the pastor. Be tenderhearted. Understand that he is a man, he is a sheep, he hurts, and he is alone in the ministry as the pastor. I am so glad to hear that there is no pastor over him. Not that the buck stops with him, but it's a lonely position. But yet in that position, he loves you. He's tender-hearted towards you. What's your response to that? Be tender-hearted back. Be tender-hearted back. Ministry in kindness. Mourning with tender-heartedness. But the final part of this verse is very simple. It says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, you forgive. Listen, there's the one another again. Forgive, how? One another. One another. The pastor, the congregation. Let me tell you what, pastor. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be hurt. Listen, he's going to be grieved because of you. You know, that's what Paul said in Acts chapter 20. I've held nothing back from you, but when I'm gone, the wolves are going to come in. And some of those wolves are going to come from the faces I'm looking at right here in front of me today. And he was looking at pastors. He told Timothy, the reason why you need to preach the word and be in season and out of season, because the people you're preaching to, these friendly, frolicking faces, are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they're not going to want you anymore. Forgive them. Preach the word. Reprove them. Rebuke them. Exhort them. Hold nothing back. That's profitable to them. But forgive them. Hey, church. It's a one another. Are you listening? It's a one another passage. Forgive. Forgive. He preached 2 hours today. You should have listened. He wasn't there within 45 seconds after I had a heartbreak. Forgive. Forgive, pastor. Don't respond to your church by forgiving them because they forgave you. That's not what the verse says. It gives the standard for forgiveness as to how Christ forgave. God forgave us for Christ's sake. Listen, you forgive them for Christ's sake. And stay tenderhearted. The ministry can be a bitter place. It could be a blaming place. And in a bitter, blaming place, we need pastors whose ministries are characterized by kindness. Amen. Whose ministries are mourning with tenderheartedness. Ministries where the pastor looks at his congregation, struggles along with them, grieves with them, grieves because of them, and forgives them. And your response is very simple and very hard. It's to be kind to one another. What else is it? It's to be tenderhearted to him and his family.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, neither of those things mean anything. Superficial, feigned at best, unless you're willing to let go and forgive. That's my charge. That's my charge to you. I do it with kindness. Hold nothing back. Love and let God do a spiritual work here. Thank you.
All right, amen. I'll tell you what, we had a lot of preaching today, huh? Ooh. Somebody's excited about that. Amen. Anyway, would you turn to Psalm 133? 133. I want to give my two cents. Nah, I'm teasing. I want to give a word of exhortation. I want to encourage Ray Street Baptist Church, and the pastor's included in this one too. He's a part of this church. This is not his church. This is not your church. This is God's church. Amen. I was in a transition service about a month ago. My father-in-law, Pastor Dominic Panicetti, retired after almost 40 years, and his son, Dominic Panicetti Jr., took over. And Dr. Salianizzi, his nephew, was there, and he said a few words before I got up to say what the Lord had laid on my heart to say, and I'm going to share just some things with you. One of the things Pastor Unizzi said to the congregation that day was, be a church that God can bless. That was one of the last things he said, and some of the words that he said, and I had prepared just a little something before getting there, and it confirmed that what I was going to encourage the church, including the pastor, was that I was kind of in tune at that time, if you will. And I think personally, being a church that God can bless, I think one word would probably wrap that thought up, and that is unity. Unity. Where the congregation and the pastors, a part of the congregation, are a united people. The devil's tactic has been and always will be, divided, we conquer. United, we stand. Amen? And pride always divides. And so I want to encourage this church, pastor included, the whole church, to be a church that God can bless. Be united. I was asked one time by a preacher, he was doing a theme for his church on unity, and he asked me if I would come and preach on unity. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll preach a message on unity. And I thought, where am I going to start here? Because when you read and study the Bible, unity is just one of those things. It's all over. In fact, what brother was speaking about with the one another, that's unity. In fact, get this thought, where two or three are gathered, what's the next word? Together. See, some people said in my name, you missed the word together. Where two or three are together, that's unity. There am I in the midst. And so an encouragement would be to be a united church, be a church that God can and will bless. In Psalm 133, we find the word unity in this chapter, and it's a small chapter, and so I'll read it very quickly. David said this, "Behold how good," that's beneficial, "and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Look at verse number 2. "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon
the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And notice what he's describing unity as. But then look at verse number 3. He also describes unity as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now get the last statement in the verse, because this is what I want to talk about. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I believe that God blesses unity. Amen. And this church is called to be a united church. United we stand. I find it amazing when you study this chapter how he describes unity. First of all, he speaks about unity being like oil, right? But then he talks about it being like what? Dew. What is dew?
Water.
You got oil and water in one chapter. As far as I understand, oil and water don't mix. But by the way, when you study the Holy Spirit, two symbols of the Holy Spirit are what? Oil and water. No. Naturally, oil and water don't mix. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, Christ. Supernaturally, oil and water can mix by the grace of God. And that's the whole emphasis. In fact, you want something unique? Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter number 4. And I think this is what led me to this, brother. Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would please. I just want to, just a few thoughts. I'm not going to keep you long. Believe me. But unity is something that God blesses. And by the way, the devil knows that. And so the devil figures this. Look, I know how to divide a married couple. How? Let's get in between them. I know how to divide a family. How? Let's get in between them. I know how to divide a church. I know how to divide a nation. I know how to divide a country. What do you think's going on in our world today? There's a lot of disunity and people are promoting it. Racial disunity. There's one thing, I'll be honest with you, as we watch TV and see all the racial disunity, when I look at the church, I don't see a lot of it. Because it doesn't matter if you're black or white or Spanish or Filipino or whatever. It doesn't matter. In Christ, we are united. Amen? This ain't the problem. Unity. I want you to get some thoughts here. I decided to do a message on unity. And one of the first things, I came up with a brilliant idea. I said, let me find out where's the word unity found in the Bible. And guess what, brethren? It's only found 3 times in the Bible, the word unity, in the King James Bible. By the way, that's unique in and of itself, isn't it? Tri-unity. Sounds like unity's of God, doesn't it? It's found in the book of Ephesians 2 times. It's found where we read it in the book of Psalms 133. Look in verse number chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 13. Here's where we find unity. Unity's found in verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the what? Faith. Unity, brothers and sisters in Christ, involves the faith. The word of God, the one that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Why is unity found in the word of God? Because this is what we unite around. Now, and I'm not talking, by the way, I'm talking about the major issues, no doubt about it. You can have minor disagreements, there's no doubt about it. In fact, if you have minor disagreements, just study Romans 14, that'll help you. If you think coffee's a sin, then don't drink it. Leave me alone. Can I get a witness? Romans 14. I'm saying, look, we have unity when it comes to the fundamental issues of the Word of God. We as a church unite around this book. We don't unite around a man. Because when you unite around a man, you can read 1 Corinthians. Well, that's where they had issues. Well, I follow this preacher, and I follow this preacher, and I follow this preacher. Well, I follow this right here. Amen. Unity is around the book. Amen. The unity of the faith. But then in chapter number 4, we also find in verse number 3, I want you to notice this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. You see, unity involves the Word of God, but unity also involves the Spirit of God. You see, it's because of the Holy Spirit that you and I have that we can overcome ourselves and unite with somebody else we would not naturally unite with. Amen? It takes the Holy Spirit's power for you and I to die to ourselves, to unite ourselves, to live for Him, and to have His blessings. Amen? In fact, I'll be honest with you. I really believe the Holy Spirit is the key to unity, no doubt about it. One of the illustrations, I'm just doing this off the cuff. I said we're going to wing it, but There's a verse in the book of Exodus where they're talked, where they describe how to make the holy anointing oil. Some of you will recall that, and I may be off in my memory, but you're supposed to take, I believe it's four different spices. And they were to break up or grind up these spices and they were to put them together. Could you picture in your mind four different spices being mixed up together and you can put them in a bowl and you can shake them around. And by the way, they're together, but let me say something. They're not united at that time. You know why? Because there's a fifth element that's supposed to be added to that, and it's called oil. You see, you put that oil in those spices that are loosely formed, and that oil brings them together and keeps them together. That oil is the Holy Spirit of the living God. Because of the Holy Spirit of God in every believer that's saved, you and I can, by the grace of God, unite in a supernatural way, whereas God will bless that unity. My encouragement to the preacher, to the church, be a church that God can bless. Be a united church. Amen. Only God can do something like this. And by the way, he delights to do so. At this time, we're going to ask our brother to come. We're going to sing one more song. And then after that song, we're just going to take a moment where I'm going to just read a few statements and ask the brother if he'll commit to some things. And then after that, I'm going to ask a few questions to the congregation of the Ray Street Baptist Church. Yesterday, they had a wedding here. And in that wedding was a commitment ceremony. Will you? Yes, I will. Will you? Yes, I will. This is the essence of a wedding. And so we'll just take a few moments, not very long, just a few moments to kind of solidify this service, if you will. But let's sing. What song is that one?
Which one do you want to do? You want to do 470? Living for Jesus?
No. Do this one here.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Thank you.
All right. Number 611 in the hymn book. 611. We've been sitting for a while, so let's stand as we sing this song, 611. Take my life and let it be.
Let them flow in ceaseless.
okay, just for a moment. Pastor, would you be so kind to stand, please? Pastor Chris Welton, I'm going to just ask you several questions. If at the end of each question, if you concur, would you just please say, I will? Will you commit to living for the Lord personally and privately? Will you commit to being the husband that God desires you to be? Will you commit to being the father that God desires you to be? For just a moment, let me just say the first challenge is not concerning the church. It's concerning himself personally and then his family. Because that's the ministry right there, first and foremost. Will you commit to faithfully studying God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 2? Will you commit to faithfully shepherding this church? Questions under that thought would be, will you faithfully love them? Will you faithfully feed them? As we heard even from our brother, feed them the word of God. Many churches today are more interested in entertaining the goats than feeding the sheep. And I encourage you, my brother, will you faithfully lead them? The difference between feeding and leading, we heard also, is to be a pattern, as Titus says, or be an example, as Timothy says, to the flock. Will you faithfully pray for them? Thank you. You may be seated. Congregation, Ray Street Baptist Church, if you're a member of this church and you have the ability, would you please stand at this time? You see, by the way, I use in all of these questions the word commit. Because just like a marriage, it takes commitment. This pastor has committed himself to this church. It's not time to sit back and say, now we have a pastor, we can relax. No, 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 no. We also have to be committed as well together. Congregation, if you answer in the affirmative at the end of each question, would you please say, we will. Will you commit to faithfully honoring your pastor? In fact, Brother Smith mentioned the verse that I have written down here in the Hebrews. He actually laid it out. We need to honor the man of God. Number two, will you commit to faithfully obeying your pastor? Amen. And as again, Pastor Smith mentioned the same thing about obeying your pastor. And I will say this just for a moment. When you look at Hebrews chapter 13, 7 and 17, to obey the pastor, be honest with you, doesn't mean to do anything a pastor says you to do. And I say that because we live in a day and age where people have used their authority to do things they should not do, and people have done it because they're supposed to obey the pastor. When you look at chapter number 13 and verse number 7, it says, for they speak unto you the word of God. The obedience you should have to the pastor is the obedience to the word of God that he's speaking to you. And brothers and sisters, we are encouraged. In fact, we have examples in the Bible. Those of Berea did not just simply listen and do. They listened and they searched the scriptures to make sure what they were hearing was truly from God. And I believe if you do that, you'll be a better Christian for it. I encourage you to do that. Will you commit to faithfully pray for your pastor and his family? This is a very, very important thing. Again, just an interjecting thought. I thought of this a while back. A lot of times it's the minister and those that have aspects of ministry that pray before they come to church. But you know, every church member should pray before they come to church. You say, what is that going to do? That's going to get my heart right if it's not. But it's also going to invoke God's blessing on that gathering. Why should I, as a regular member, be concerned about praying for church? You want God to show up? Amen. You want to hear something? Your loved ones next to you, you need them to hear something? Pray before you go to church. Good. And then finally, number four, will you commit to faithfully give of your time, talent, and treasure for the benefit of this congregation and for its God-given mission to reach the lost world around you? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to sing just one more hymn, and then we're going to close up. Before we do, I'm going to ask Pastor Drews, would you be so kind to come and close our service in a word of prayer, please? I appreciate that, sir. If you would, Pastor Drews, a pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church in Elkton, Maryland, if you would pray for the pastor and for this congregation at the end of this hymn, we'd appreciate that, sir. Thank you.
think our last song goes right along with everything that we've been hearing. It's number 470. 470. Living for Jesus.
This time. He's going to close our service with a word of prayer. We've asked him to pray for the pastor in a very special way, and also pray for this congregation. Thank you, each and every one, for coming. And preachers, thank you for coming, because you're showing your support to this new pastor here, to know that there are people who will think about him and pray for him in his church. Thank you, sir. I
appreciate it. Yes, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have this evening to be able to call upon your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood and the opportunity to come to thy throne. And Father, as we pray, we lift up this dear pastor, and we pray that your hand would be upon him.
Yes.
Lord, would you enable him and endue him with power from on high?
Yes.
Lord, would you do for him what he can't do for himself?
Yes.
Father, would you do through him what can't be done by man?
Yes.
God, I pray that you would use him in such a way that he would glorify and magnify your precious name. Father, I pray for this church that, Lord, you'll continue to keep your hand on it. We thank you, Lord, for your preservation. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for your power that's been at work in this assembly. Lord, I'm grateful you said these words, "I will build my church.
Amen.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
Lord, we're so thankful that you're doing just exactly what you said you would do. Lord, I pray that you would sustain this assembly. I pray that you would put a hedge of protection about them. Lord, keep them from the wicked one. Knit their hearts together. Fix their eyes on the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that each one would be filled with thy Spirit and walk in that enablement that only you grant. And Lord, I pray that you would help the light to shine. Lord, I pray this pulpit would ever be a place where the pure Word of God would be preached.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you would protect it from compromise, from worldliness, or any letting down of that high and holy banner we've been entrusted with. And Lord, I pray that the Word of God would thunder forth until Jesus comes. We'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We're grateful, Lord, that we can commend this church to your word and to your grace. And Lord, may your hand ever be on it. And Father, I pray that you'll use this assembly in this place. Lord, let it be salt and light. And Lord, make it a burr in the devil's saddle so long as you have it here. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Faithfulness for years. It's a pleasure to meet some of you for the first time. So, Caleb, where are you at? Is he still here? Can you help me a second, brother? Can you help me out when he's out here? Can you take this brother Seymour? Brother Hitchens?
We're getting more than popcorn today, brothers.
If you don't like the cookies, I'll take them. Brother Renzi?
Thank you, sir.
I know you don't like coffee, so...
Thank you, sir.
Again, thank you.
Let me say briefly on behalf of the other three men on the search committee, we officially turn over all responsibility to our pastor. We're thankful for the great pastor.